Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 3-Wide Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back again. Eddie Greer, a.k.a. EG3. One more time for the 3-Wide Podcast. We're all about the latest in the world of NASCAR. Talking about the Gann Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and of course the NASCAR Cup Series. Three misdivisions of all of motorsports. And this, folks, is the bonus edition of the podcast. We got our special guest coming on here in about less than 15 minutes away. So excited to have our special guest on the podcast once again. And of course, if you missed out on the previous episode of the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast, including the race recap from Fontana, go download that and check that out as well. And of course, we're recording this a couple days before it comes out. Yes, this is March 6, 2020, and this episode will go out on Wednesday, this upcoming Wednesday. I've had a lot of people already today ask me, this is going to be live stream, whatnot, but hey, that's what you want, right? It was obviously recording it right now, so this is a taping like I usually do for all of my interviews for the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. Is Big D also just came in to the building, to the EG3 basement, as well. We're getting set for our special guest to come on from the NASCAR Drive for Diversity program. I'll tell who that is in a few moments. But yes, before we dive on into this bonus edition of the podcast, of course, you can follow me at EG3_FastEddie. With the giveaway number at 400 followers, that's the goal that we're going to strive for here in 2020. And of course, the 3-Wide Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. And for those of you tuning in for the first time, which we're going to have a lot of those, you can find that wherever podcasts you can find, wherever you get your sports, NASCAR, entertainment podcasts, whether it's from Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify, we're on that. Stitcher, Radio Public, and we're going to be working on the SoundCloud profile as well, getting all those previous episodes on there as well for your listening enjoyment as well. The 3-Wide Podcast getting roll off and rolling here in 2020. Eddie Greer III here with you guys on this Friday. Again, this episode will not be out until this upcoming Wednesday, not the following Wednesday, but this upcoming Wednesday. So again, folks, for those of you who are interested, and there are a lot of people who are interested, apparently, which is a good thing. Not complaining, folks. But it's a good thing that people who want to tune in and listen to our episodes get it. And also tell a friend about the 3-Wide Podcast. Continue to spread the word about this mini podcast that we're striving for. Continuing to get better and strive for improvement each and every day on the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. Not every day, I should say every week of the show. Before we bring on our special guest on here, because he's going to call a tad early here, from Alabama. Yes, from Alabama, our special guest from Alabama calling into the show here in moments here. Real quick here, obviously this will be out again for the 10th time on Wednesday. And if you want to look that date up real quick, Big D, that would be awesome. Three drivers that I want to pay attention to that are off to kind of a rough start. Most notably, who we had on here, his owner, who we had on here, Bob Labine. That was that mean person of Christopher Bell off the mat to a slow start. And as we're recording this episode right now, bottom of the speed charts at Phoenix, where obviously the West Coast swing is going to be wrapping up here when this thing comes out, and that's going to be March 11th. So yeah, this upcoming Wednesday, tell your friends, March 11th. By then, it's already going to be out. So, but we'll make sure we'll tell Christina, and we'll also tell Perry before we wrap the thing up, that tell his friends that he's going to be on the 3-Wide Podcast, or the episode's going to be on the 3-Wide Podcast on that Wednesday. But yeah, Christopher Bell, that's a mystery. Well, I shouldn't say a mystery, but you know, there was a lot of activity surrounding that 95, upping the support of that program from Joe Gibbs Racing and it has not shown, unfortunately, yet here. And it's going to be interesting to see another driver struggling out of the box. Obviously, Daniel Suarez, no surprise whatsoever here. I've talked about this at length multiple times on this podcast, and probably going to continue to do that until otherwise. But Suarez missed the 500 and then did not get off the mat at Las Vegas. Engine sputtered, whatever happened to the thing, and then we'll finish a couple laps down at Fontana in a penny. And again, we're recording this episode here today without knowing, obviously, who won the Phoenix races here coming up. But Suarez was a couple of laps down there. So, and we're going to get our questions answered with this new version of the short track package beginning this weekend for mainly, particularly the Cup Series guys racing out there. And another driver, this might surprise y'all a little bit. But all three drivers coming out of the Toyota camp, and I want to say Denny Hamlin, yes, the 500 winner, the three-time 500 winner, you know, struggling. He struggled at Vegas there. And then, you know, yes, he finished in the top 10 in Fontana, but, you know, they've had their struggles here in the West Coast swing, and hopefully they're coming to... They are coming to this racetrack, Phoenix. Last time we're here, at Phoenix, Hamlin was the car to beat, and he proved it all day long. Obviously, winning the race and then punching a ticket to. Excuse me, yeah, we're checking something here real quick, folks. So excuse me for the dead silence here, but yeah, we're checking something here real quick here. All right, Big D's gonna take care of that here while I get rolling here. So Denny Hamlin, yeah, we're gonna see how he does this weekend. That's gonna be a storyline to follow. The Toyotas behind the eight ball, but I believe, in my opinion, that everybody is on even playing field with this package. But again, like I said last year about the 29 rules package, who's going to strike first with it and who's going to be off the mark? That's going to be something to pay attention to here coming up here shortly. But we have our guest on right now. We're going to take a time out here on the 3Wide podcast and we'll get him back on the line here shortly. As the red light is blinking here, we'll get things sorted out. So he did call a few minutes early. So Perry Pitino from the Drive for Diversity program coming on a podcast here momentarily. We'll bring him on next. 3Wide Podcast rolls on next with our special guest. Yeah, it's all rushed here pretty quickly, but we're going to get him on right now. We'll take a timeout real quick. And on the other side of 3Wide Podcast is Perry Pitino from the NASCAR Whelen All-American Series Drive for Diversity program. We'll be back after this timeout.
NASCAR podcast with EG3 will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Thank you.
The 3Wide NASCAR Podcast is back on the airwaves. EG3, a.k.a. EG3, Eddie Greer III, host of the 3Wide Podcast, NASCAR Cup Series, Xfinity Series, and the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series. Folks, we have our special guest online, but before we bring on Perry on here real quick, you can follow me at EG3_FastEddie on Twitter. And, of course, the 3Wide Podcast, you can download it wherever you listen to your podcast. Spotify, Audioboom, Apple Podcasts, Radio Public, SoundCloud, and many more. So, the 3Wide Podcast is on the move. And right now, we have our special guest on site right now. Let's go ahead and bring on right now, part of the Drive for Diversity program in 2020, the class 2020, the NASCAR Whelen All-American Series. He drives the number 51 Honda Generators Toyota. Welcome on to the 3Wide Podcast, Perry Pitino. Perry, man, how you doing, man?
Good, Eddie. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
Oh, I am doing all right, Running on adrenaline. And it's been a super busy week, but it's been pretty good around the state of Kansas. And Perry, we talked off air just a tad bit. You said you're at a racetrack. Tell our listeners where you're at right now.
Yeah, I'm actually at Montgomery Motor Speedway. This is our last practice day before tomorrow. It's the Alabama 200. A lot of big guys come out of this race. You know, late model guys like Bubba Pollard, Jeff Choquette, Steven Nassi, Augie Grill, a lot of those guys. So just kind of had some time in between practices here.
All right, that sounds exciting. Of course, we have the Xfinity and Cup guys out west, and you're getting ready to do some racing on your own here down at the Montgomery. I'm going to talk about Montgomery in just a little bit, but for our listeners and new listeners to the podcast, Perry, I'm going to let you take the floor for a couple of minutes and tell the listeners about yourself and how you've gotten to this point in your career, so early in career so far.
Yeah, you know, it's I didn't really have too much heritage in racing. You know, nobody raced except for my dad. You know, I kind of started off with him. He didn't know what racing was. He's from Columbia, South America. And so he moved here to the U.S. and got a job and then ended up finding some buddies that actually raced some old street stocks. And obviously he had no idea what a race car was, or he thought NASCAR was stupid. You know, he had no idea what it was. And so he raced, like, I don't know, like 10 races just for fun, just to kind of de-stress from work. And then I would always come to the racetrack with him, and more my mom would let me miss school, and we would actually tell my mom that I was sick, and I would go to the racetrack with him and practice. And he just eventually bought me a go-kart one day and asked me if I wanted to do it for fun. You know, and a lot of kids pretty much start off in go-karts, but my go-kart life was pretty short span. I think we did about 12, 13 races, and then we moved into this class called the Buzz Cars. That's like these little four-cylinder cars, you know, they're really good starter cars. And just something to Bing and Bang, it was, you know, still for fun. I never even thought about it as a career, neither did he. And after that, there was one day where I got in his street stock and ended up going faster than him. And I was, I think, 12 years old or 13 years old. And I had, like, newspapers and T-shirts shoved in the seat. I didn't have a fire suit on, just a helmet with no gloves. And he said that I could just only put it in second gear, go around the track, and ended up just saying, like, I just disobeyed him and went in fourth gear and just started making a bunch of laps and went faster. And he was like, okay, well, man, like, you actually want to do this for fun, or do you want to do this as a career? And so that's kind of how it started, as a career. You know, we didn't know anything about racing, and so our next step was just to figure out how to get into a late model. So we didn't really know how, so we got in contact with a guy from Birmingham, Alabama, named Josh Hamner. And Josh was a super well-known guy. His dad, Hamner Racing Engines, he builds all the engines for pretty much every late model guy that's successful. So we got hooked up with him and my teammate Justin South, and just started racing late models for a while, and, you know, really took off as a career. You know, changed to a homeschool so I could start traveling, and it really became like, you know, I actually saw a future in it. And it's really hard to, we got to a point where, you know, we saw how much money it took to really become professional and kind of climb all those ranks. And, you know, our last year we were about to quit, and then someone finally introduced us to Rev Racing, owned by Max Siegel, and the Driver Diversity Development Program. And that was kind of our token in. You know, I was without Rev and the way they support drivers with funding and media and coaching, I definitely wouldn't be able to do it as a career. So that was definitely a huge step in my career. And, you know, here we are now.
Wow. Wow, that is some turn of events right there. So prior to not knowing anything about racing, Perry, did you play any, were you and your dad, did you guys play any sports prior to putting yourselves into racing, or you just say, hey, let's just try this out for fun, like you were talking about there just a minute ago.
Yeah, well, he actually went to the Olympics and for swimming, and so that's why he came to the U.S. He got a scholarship from the University of Alabama. And so I was a swimmer forever, and he forced me to do it. I was so bad. After years of begging to quit, you know, and he finally let me quit. But I was just always more into, you know, going. We had a little farm about 30 minutes from our house, just always riding dirt bikes and four wheelers and little buggy go karts. I was just always more into that. I think he kind of saw that, and so he kind of let me quit that and slowly start on my passion of things with motors and just kind of beating and banging.
Perry Bettino here on a 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. Speaking of Olympics, obviously this is an Olympic year. And will you watch some of the Olympics at all if the Olympics were to stay on course? Obviously, the big topic right now is the coronavirus and all that other stuff. But will you guys have a chance to, in between racing, sit down and watch the Olympics this year, this summer?
Yeah, I hope so. You know, we try to watch the tennis and stuff like that. Tennis, tennis and swimming. He always kind of made us sit down with our kids and watch the swimming part. But, you know, I'm not too much of a, you know, if it's really not NASCAR or any type of car racing, I'm not really too into it and never really care for it. But I will watch some swimming. Usually we'll pre-record it, so.
All right.
A little bit of it.
That's good. So prior to your first year in the Drive for Adversity program, what was your off-season like entering into, I know you talked about Max Siegel and getting a break here for the Drive for Adversity program. What was your off-season like?
In preparation for driving for Rev?
Yeah.
Well, it was a lot of little unknown things. I kind of, you know, in the late model world or the pro late model world, you know, from up north and, okay, I'll go ahead and say that, you know, the down south late model racing from Alabama to Florida and then up north from South Carolina and up is just way a different world. You know, up there it's very professional. They take it serious. But then down here we have some of the best talents in, you know, the whole world of racing. But it was kind of our normal, you know, normal year. Not too much, just training, working out, going to a couple test sessions, stuff like that. And then I started getting in contact with Nick Sanchez. He's a driver for Rev right now in the Arkman Arc series.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's
really good, and he kind of just showed me about how they did stuff up there and talked about, you know, how they weight train, how they go on the simulators. And I was never much of a simulator guy or a guy that took it serious until Nick was saying how big of a deal it was and all those guys up there. I was like, man, those guys are on the simulators every day. So it just kind of changed a little bit. You know, the hard work was still there and everything down here to run good down south. You have to work extremely hard. But, yeah, and then, you know, media is such a big part of it now, and that's never really been a big part of my life. I've never really done interviews and stuff like that. There's just no need to down here. It's just you go, you show up, you race, and that's it. But, you know, there's a lot of politics in NASCAR, and you got to be able to do really good interviews and keep sponsors happy. So a lot of media work, too.
Yeah, definitely times have changed, especially social media and all that. As you probably know by now, you have put in a lot of work, and I am learning things on the fly as we speak here. And you're the first driver on that's from the state of Alabama who got into racing. So how many tracks are in the state of Alabama? I'm originally from the state of Georgia. So how many tracks are in Alabama do you know of total?
Oh, man. Asphalt tracks, two. You know, now it's just one. So Montgomery Motor Speedway, really nice facility. It's almost brand new. Everything was redone. And we used to have a BIR. It was Birmingham International Raceway. And Red Farmer raced there, Davey Allison, Neil Bonnet, Joey Logano, Mike Garvey, Matt Kenseth. I mean, so many big names just raced there. But It was kind of in a bad area of town, and they had to shut it down. And, you know, there was a really long time, a big group of years, I think around 2012 to now. You know, a lot of short tracks were really struggling to find funding, and nobody really cared about racing or NASCAR. Just for some reason, just wasn't clicking with the fans and the public. So a lot of short tracks had to close down. And even now, you know, a lot of guys are struggling to find sponsorship money to come back. But I think after last year, it's going to start turning around. And, you know, I know Gresham Motorsports Park, you should know that if you're a real race fan from Georgia.
Yep.
They recently opened it back up, the Peach State Classic. So that's the short tracks are doing better. And I wish we had a little bit more in Alabama. But for right now, we got to stick with one and do what we can do.
Yeah, that's all you can do. And from what I've been reading on your profile, Montgomery Motor Speedway is pretty popular on your resume there. And you did a little dirt racing back in 2014 for four races, and you finished in the top five three times. Woo. I mean, I know it's still early in career. What's the difference between driving on dirt and then taking those talents to the asphalt?
I've always kind of had the train of thought of anything with four wheels and a steering wheel kind of have, they have the same principal rules to go fast. You got to find a good line, you got to be smooth, and you got to be able to adapt. But it really took my surprise, because I had a couple buddies that raced dirt and kind of took some advice from them. But man, I mean, until you're actually in there doing it, you got to throw that all out the window, and you got to just be able to adapt. I mean, the biggest thing is obviously there's zero grip on dirt, and you're always slipping and sliding, but you really got to find the line. And in asphalt, on a whole weekend, you might have half of a groove line change the whole weekend, depending on how your car is. But on dirt, I mean, you can go from, you run the high side 1 hour, and then in 2 hours, you're running the low side. It's just crazy. So it really helps with adaptability, and I think dirt is a huge part of being a good asphalt racer.
Yeah.
You're really allowed to do it.
Yeah, we see it, obviously, in the Cup Series with a couple of big names, like a Kyle Larson and a Ricky Stenhouse and a couple others to mention there that I don't have in my memory. But, yeah, we see it. Those guys, Kyle Larson winning the Chili Bowl earlier in the off season, and Ricky Stenhouse sitting on the pole for the 500 a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, you definitely can see that. Perry, you answered some of my questions on my little note sheet here. I want to back up to the the Buzz race car. You mentioned it's a four-cylinder race car. How is that a small race car compared to a Cup car, Xfinity car? How big is that?
Oh yeah, it's just like a little street car. It's just a lot of guys down here run it just to kind of train and get the feel of what four wheels and a big car feels like. It's like you basically just go buy a cheap Honda Prelude or an Acura Integra, and you haul it all out, build a roll cage, put a racing motor in it, and four street tires, and you hit the track. But yeah, they're really small cars, and they're pretty dangerous. They're kind of junky and sketchy, but it's pretty fun, and a lot of people learn in them.
That's pretty cool. Perry Pitino here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3, drives the number 51 Honda Generators Toyota for the Drive for Diversity program. Perry, I want to back up to a couple years ago, 2016. You finished second in the limited late model championship points at Montgomery Motor Speedway. They're just falling a tad short a little bit of winning the title there. How are the feelings there, trying to battle for the championship, trying to win a championship, and you come up just a tad short there? What was your thought process after that year, that season?
Yeah, I think, for us, we never ran the full season, so it was going to be regardless. And we knew that it was going to be really hard to win the championship that year. Okay. We were really getting into pro racing more than ever. So out of, I think, 15 races, we probably ran maybe 9. But the biggest thing was just learning from what I did. I was finally able to start setting up my own cars and working on my own cars and building them and stuff like that. And going to the track and just kind of having fun and not taking certain areas quite so serious. It's like, man, like we ran second. Oh, yeah, we didn't have a good night. But, if you would have put 3 or 4 hours worth of work, maybe you would have won. Then you would have been saying, oh, yeah, we had a great night. So I think just more hours at the shop, really get the mentality of, you win a race at the shop instead of just trying to go and overdrive from what the car is doing. Just get a lot of people and a lot of minds together. And there's a lot of really good racers down here that have helped me learn how to set up cars and build them. And the biggest thing, just going to the shop and using that second place anger is just fuel for next season and do get better.
Yeah, that's always the goal in any sport that you're trying to do, is get better each and every day, put your head down, and see what you can get out of it there. I want to turn our attention a little bit to the NASCAR Wheeling All-American Series there. You drive the Toyota, the number 51 Honda Generators Toyota there. What's the schedule going to be like for you doing that this year? I know it's early in the year. We're in March. So what's your plans? What's your race schedule for that?
We got about 10 to 12 weekends that we're going to run. But they do it a little different up north. So if you run 20 weekends here, down south it's about 20 races. But up there, if you run 10 weekends, it's about 25 races. So pretty much every weekend we're going to go to is a doubleheader. Twin 50s, twin 75s, even up to twin 125s. So, yeah, we pretty much, we'll stick around Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We'll go to West Virginia. We'll go to Virginia, Hickory, North Carolina, just kind of the neighboring states right there. And we'll just stay around that little region and try to follow all the NASCAR wheeling races that are most important to us to try to get the championship.
All right. And have you worked with your crew chief Johnny Allen at all much? Or
so actually, funny story. I went to the shop at Rev Racing and met him and saw him, and then came back. And then one of the guys just was like, I was talking about him. I was like, tell one of my crew chiefs back home. I was like, yeah, you know, I met this guy named Johnny Allen. He's like, Johnny Allen used to work for me. And so I never knew that he grew up 10 miles from my house.
Oh.
Yeah, I never knew that my whole life. And so he was there, and he worked with all the guys that I've worked with. And I was like, man, this guy like knows everything I've talked about, all these guys down here. Ended up that he was, you know, right from around my camp. And so when I went back to North Carolina, I was like, hey, man, you didn't tell me you lived in, you know, Prattville, Alabama, about 10 miles away. He was like, yeah, man. So we hit it off really easy. And I'm extremely excited to work with Johnny because we both have the same mentality. We both come from the same place. We know the same people. He's extremely strict, and he's extremely credible, and has been super successful in all his NASCAR endeavors with Michael Waltrip Racing and Rev Racing, and mm-hmm. about one of the smartest guys you'll ever talk to and hardworking. So I'm extremely excited to work with him.
That is funny right there. Yeah, that's like hitting the jackpot right there.
Yeah, I was so lucky to get him. We're like, you know, bread and butter. So
yeah,
that starts the season.
Yeah, that crew chief and driver combination is so important. Whether you're in the top series or you're racing in the lower division or you're just trying to work your way through the ranks and try to get to where you want to go, you know. So that's gonna be fun with you guys as you get going there. So you mentioned Nick Sanchez early on, and I had him on the podcast last year. So this is your first year in the Driver Diversity Program. So other than Nick Sanchez, have you had a chance to meet some of the other guys and gals in the program?
Yeah, I've been able to meet, you know, Nick Sanchez hangs out with Chase Cabry a lot. He's mm-hmm. been there, one of their top guys for years in ARCA. Yep. Or back when, you know, it was K&N, races a lot of dirt too. I've got to know him pretty well. Roger Carruth, I met a lot of them. We had a photo shoot about a week ago. I pretty much met everybody. I'd say I'm probably closer to Nick and Gracie Trotter and Chase, and those guys are kind of more around my age, and you know, we try to help each other out a lot, and Chase and Nick, even though Nick is younger than me, he's got a lot of advice, and I try to take it, and he tries to take mine, and, you know, Chase is always a good guy to look up to. He's kind of been the top guy for, you know, ever since he got there, and he's an extremely good racer with a lot of talent. Mm-hmm. He just knows all the, besides the whole talent and the race car, probably knows all the ins and outs of the media, how to keep the sponsors happy, how to blow up your media, I mean, just how to do everything and keep everybody happy. He's extremely good at the political side, and he's a racer, so he's definitely a good guy to keep on the team.
Yeah, that's for sure. We've had each and every one of them on the podcast, and we're probably going to have them a second go-around with Gracie and Raja and all those, Nick and Chase and all those guys. So definitely it's been a blast to get to know them a little bit and just to continue to follow their journey up the ranks. So it's been awesome to watch up until this point. Perry Pitino here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. He joins us from Montgomery Motor Speedway. He's preparing for the Alabama 200. Perry, to kind of make sure here, out of the Alabama 200, you mentioned at the top of the interview that there's some big names that come to Montgomery Motor Speedway to compete in this race. How many other big names competed in this race, in this event?
In the past?
Yeah, in the past, yes.
I mean, probably about 10 Cup drivers. I mean, Joey Logano's competed in it, Kyle Busch, Matt Kenseth, Mike Garvey, Dave Mader. Let's see, I'm sure there's 100 more. Corey LaJoy's been here. Noah Gragson's been here. Chandler Smith has been here. And, you know, just, I mean, this track is so big, and this race is such a hard race to win.
I mean, that's jam-packed with some talent right there. Obviously, Matt Kenseth is doing some other things now, and Noah Gregson, who won Daytona in the Xfinity Series a few weeks ago. Obviously, we all know about Kyle Busch and Joey Logano, champions of the sport. And one more time, Perry, the simulator. How much is there a difference? Obviously, there's this talk about e-racing now. I don't know how much you know about that, but what's the difference? Is there a difference with the simulator that you're driving on, getting prepared for the track, and then when you first step on the actual track? Is it the same, or how does that work?
You know, it really just depends. I mean, I've had iRacing simulators since I was, you know, 12, 13 years old, and just kind of goofed around on it for a while. But now it's gotten to the point where, I mean, everything is so good. I mean, you can practice at a track for a full day or two on iRacing, and hit the track and know exactly what line to take. You know, it's not so much of how the feel or how the car works, but I mean, it tells you exactly what points, what lines to run, how the track progresses after laps. I mean, how to drive it with more laps in your tires. I mean, iRacing has been so incredible, and it's just crazy. Everyone would think it's a joke, and a lot of people would say I'm lying to you. But, you know, it's insane how realistic it is. And I race it all the time on Pensacola, Florida, on Five Flags Speedway, the home of the Snowball Derby. I'm constantly on there, and it's just so crazy. I mean, I've picked up things on iRacing. I'm like, man, let me try it on the real track. And I'll go out there, and we'll pick up, you know, half a tenth. I'm like, oh, my God, it works. So, you know, simulators are a huge thing now, so it's a really good tool to keep your driving skills up.
Yeah, and it's getting more and more popular. Obviously, there's the iRacing Championship competition and everything else, so it's definitely quickly on the horizon here. A couple more questions for you here, Perry, here before we let you go here. I know you're busy getting prepared for the Alabama 200 this weekend. I'll ask more about that to cap off the interview, but did you have a favorite driver growing up in the sport?
It would have to be Augie Grill. I would hope you've heard of him, but he's won two derbies, almost three in a row, and has the record for the most snowflake wins. He's probably one of the most accomplished guys, and I would say he's even more accomplished than Gary Blue on the short track ranks. And he just, I mean, he's Chase Elliott drove his cars, and he worked on Chase Elliott's cars ever since Chase started racing late models. And I mean, the guy's just so good. He can do things with the car that I've never even seen, and the raw anger and talent that he can get behind the wheel to go do something that you know, with a car that he doesn't have is insane. And he's a really, really good mentor. I've gone to shop, you know, since I was little and worked and helped and started off sweeping and then, you know, ended up where I was actually welding stuff and helping him set up cars. And he's never failed to yell at me every time. And he always just wants me to do the best I can and really see me grow. So he's really strict on me, but he's an incredible racer. And that would definitely be my guy, you know, a role model growing up.
That's awesome. And kind of a follow-up question, do you have a favorite driver now who's in the Cup Series, Xfinity or Gander? Do you have somebody that you like to follow currently?
Yeah, primarily Kyle Busch, and then second, Noah Gragson. You know, first of all, Kyle, regardless of his, you know, sometimes he gets an attitude and he can be called a whiner and get himself in some bad positions. But at the end of the day, he comes back and he races with us. And a lot of people say that's just cherry picking and that's this and that. But you know what? You know, we want to race against him. We want him to be at his best, so to see if we can beat him at his best, because if it does, it means something to us, you know. And it's he knows how hard it is. You can't just come to any late model race and win. You know, it's good. It's good for the sport. It's good for the tracks. Good for the town. I mean, when he comes down and races with us, I just really respect it. That, you know, he's not over there vacationing. He would rather come and race the Snowball Derby or late model. And that's, you know, something so big, and it means a lot to the short track community, regardless if you hate him or love him. And then Noah Gragson, I think he's just one of the rising guys that we need in NASCAR. I mean, his personality is. I used to not be such a big fan of him and think he was kind of cocky. And I talked to him for about 20, 30 minutes at the Derby last year, and he was just the nicest guy. I mean, helped me with a couple things in my driving, and it was just so nice and gets everyone so engaged. Every single time you win or you see him on social media or anything, I mean, he's just doing something crazy or he's getting the crowd hyped up, and that's exactly what NASCAR needs. I mean, he just couldn't have been any nicer, and he was super excited to talk to me, and he had such a great attitude, and he really was focused on the race. And I mean, he just has such a good energy, and NASCAR needs that type of young energy, and he brings so many people to the racetrack.
Yeah, definitely, in my opinion, definitely Noah is kind of comes off a little bit of cocky, but yeah, definitely, I mean, he's in the Xfinity Series now. I talked about him winning the Xfinity race at Daytona a couple weeks ago, so definitely he's continuing to get better with, of course, Junior Motorsports and Dale Earnhardt Jr. in that program, and obviously the popular choice, Kyle Busch. And I don't know if you've been following the story of the whole bounty thing, but but definitely I'm excited for that beginning next week. Chase Elliott is going to be racing against him in the Truck Series. I can't wait for that. So what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I love it. I understand, you know, getting outgunned and kind of, you know, bringing a knife to a gunfight. I've done that my whole life with late models, racing against big teams with a ton of money. And I completely understand that he has so much money and his team is so good. But at the same time, you know, you don't need the best of the best to win. You got a bunch of smart guys with you and you get a good enough car. I mean, look what Brett Moffitt did. You know, they're not KBM, but he still, you know, he beat everybody like a year or two ago whenever he won the championship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's amazing, first of all. I don't see how you could complain about that. because it's not every single weekend, and it makes you better. You know, you think you're the best, and you go beat Kyle. Those trucks are just as good as Kyle's, and they can beat them. And I just think it brings more people. You know, I mean, so many people are talking about it. I guarantee you, so many people are going to buy tickets and watch those truck races just to see that. And a lot of those guys aren't so much going to see Chase and Kyle or Chase and Kyle, you know, go duke it out. They can just watch it on Sunday. They want to see the little guys. You know, they want to see Brett Moffitt or the Gillilands or guys like that. They want to see them race against them to see how they compare. I think it's great for the sport.
Yeah, you nailed it, Perry. I talked about that on the last episode of the show. Fans, they need that type of they want to see that type of stuff. You know, you can't, if you turn that stuff down, then you got to go to another sport. Everyone wants to challenge, see a challenge, and we're all definitely excited to see what goes down. We can all thank Kevin Harvick for stirring that pot up a little bit there, but definitely everybody's excited, and this thing's going to go down next week. I'm excited for it. That down in
Atlanta. Yeah, it's going to be super exciting, really good for the fans.
Yeah, definitely good for the sport, and obviously, as you know, the trucks put on tremendous racing every time they're on the track, so it's just going to be lit up, that's for sure. Perry, here real quick here. I know we got just a little bit more time with you here. I appreciate you joining us on the podcast. Do you have any goals here for this, for you, for yourself and your team here in 2020?
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, I got a pretty big seat to fill with Nick Sanchez. He's extremely consistent and fast and won a couple races there. So I think the biggest goal is just to go win. You know, I'm not going to have the mentality where I'm just going to go save and just try to have a good first year. No, I don't want to do that. I want to go, and I want to put the work in and listen to my crew chief and really get the advice to do. I want to go win. I want to go win a bunch of races and hopefully win a championship or have a good run at it. But, you know, nobody wants to wreck cars, and that's not my goal, to go out there and go bonsai every week just to go win. But, you know, I think I have what it takes, and racing down here with the, you know, some of the best of the best, I think I have what it takes, and I know Johnny does, to go win a lot of races. So I would be definitely disappointed if we didn't go win about five or six races and really show the team what we can do.
That's a good mentality to go on, sir. That's exciting, Perry. All right, Perry, sir. What's the weekend looking like? I know you're in the middle of practice or whatnot for the Alabama 200 over at Montgomery. What's the weekend schedule looking like for you guys this weekend?
Well, you know, we had an open practice last Friday, and the car wasn't so good. It was really fast on the short run, but really bad in the long run. And this is one of the few races in a pro car where you do live pit stops. So we got to get a, you know, right now it's just more about strategy. Today, no one cares at all. I don't even think people bring out a stopwatch. You know, people just want the my main goal for today is for the car just to drive comfortable for, you know, 30, 40 laps. And people be making some really big long runs here. And getting a good strategy for you. You can have the best race car out there, but if you come in and you mess up on pit road, you know, you can restart sixth or seventh, and that can kind of screw your whole race up. So, you know, it's just a lot. We got, you know, 10 guys right now. We got the most people we're going to have for the season on the crew, and we got kind of the meeting of the minds going on right now. And, you know, just got to focus on strategy and get the car really comfortable. And I'm just not going to care about long run speed at all.
All right, that sounds like a plan right there, Perry. All right, sir. Where can everybody find you at on social media?
My Instagram is Perry Patino 51, Perry Patino 51. And my Twitter account is just Perry Patino with the Twitter handle. And PerryPatinoMotorsports.com is my website, and same for my Facebook.
All right. And this episode is going to come out on Wednesday, Perry, for those who are interested. I know a couple of people, I know you were wondering if this was live or whatnot, but this is pre-recorded. This thing is going to go up this upcoming Wednesday, and I had two or three other people wanted to know when this episode was going to go up. So definitely tell your friends about it. So, all right, Perry.
Yeah, perfect, man. I know they're all excited. They were like, you know, they were all scrambling to find out what, you know, they were like, I'm trying to find it on Apple Podcasts. I'm like, yeah, let me just see what Eddie says, and I'll shoot right back to you. And, you know, my mom was texting everybody, so, you know, things like that. And also, you know, Dale, I'm a huge fan of the Dale Jr. Download, and, you know, podcasts like this, I'm super appreciative to be on here, and I thank you again. I mean, this is super good for Rev, and we had a good team, and, you know, stuff like this is really good for, you know, if you're driving down the road, you have no idea, or say you used to be a fan of NASCAR, you're not anymore, just to kind of get a new perspective of it.
Yeah, definitely. The Dale Jr. Download is one of my favorite podcasts as well. Awesome insights and stories from Dale Earnhardt Jr. and the guests that they bring on. Terrific. So, All right, sir. Perry Pitino from the Driver for Diversity program, Rev Racing. Driver, the number 51 Honda Generator Toyota, getting ready for the Alabama 200 down at Montgomery Motor Speedway down in Alabama. Perry, I appreciate your time for a few minutes here on the show, and good luck this weekend. Hopefully we can do this again sometime.
Awesome, Eddie. I'd love to come on. Thank you again for having me.
Guys, Perry Pitino, folks, ladies and gentlemen, from Montgomery Motor Speedway on a 3-wide NASCAR podcast, EG3. Man, that was awesome there. Again, love that when I get the opportunity to either talk to the president of the tracks or drivers or whatnot in there on site. That's my favorite. That is my favorite thing about this podcast. Whenever I do get a chance to interview a driver or somebody from the industry, is, you know, the location and whatnot, and give some live insight on what they're doing out on the track right there. So Perry Pitino, ladies and gentlemen, working on doing some big things and getting himself ready to rock and roll for the Alabama 200. And yeah, this thing's gonna go out next week. And that's when, obviously, the trucks will be back in action. This is a perfect segue for that. Kyle Busch, the Bounty Challenge is on. Chase Elliott is going to be first on deck. The hometown hero, the home run hitter, will look to take him down in Atlanta Motor Speedway. And obviously, after that, I believe Kyle Larson, Eric Jones is signing on, and possibly Denny Hamlin at Richmond, either Richmond or Kansas, one of those two other tracks there that Kyle Busch is running. The rest, obviously, 5 races. The limit is for Cup guys, 5 in both Xfinity and Truck Series. Big D, yeah, man, you listen to Perry right there. That guy knows. That guy obviously has been around short tracks, and he's going to continue to get better. And we'll see what he does along with the rest of the gang here early in 2020. You can follow me at EG3_FastEddy on Twitter. Again, folks, at EG3_FastEddy. And the 3-Wide Podcast, again, there talking with Perry a little bit. If you weren't paying attention, tell your friends. This is why I keep saying, keep telling y'all. Tell a buddy, the 3-Wide Podcast. You can find it wherever you get your podcast, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, Radio Public, and of course, like I said earlier, we're going to get caught up on a profile on SoundCloud as well. So this thing is going to go up on Wednesday, Atlanta Week, and we're pumped up for that weekend. My home state. I live here in Manhattan, Kansas, where I live currently in the MHK, but my home and home is in the South, in that state of Georgia, where all 3 series will be at this upcoming weekend after the West Coast Swing. That's going to wrap things up, Big D. Let's wrap it. Ladies and gentlemen, you have listened to another edition of 3-Wide Podcast with EG3. Thank you for listening to this bonus edition of the podcast. And we thank Perry Pitino for hopping on. And we big thanks to Christina for setting this thing all up. We appreciate you once again. And we're going to probably have a couple more of the guys and gals back on the podcast here in the future. So, Eddie Greer saying thank you for listening to the 3-Wide Podcast. Hey, we're getting wrapped up, baby. We out.
Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. We'll see you next time going 3-Wide.